Geography. Free space for geography. Extending teaching and learning methods beyond the boundaries of campus.
Did you hear about Frontline?
Well, Frontline is camping
with Frontline.
Frontline, by the way, has outstanding productions.
Geography Frontline.
Hey everybody, Frontliners from around the world. This is episode 111 of Geography Frontline. Hey, do you know what this sound is? It's the typical tune from German Carnival, at least the one from Mainz. And why, you may ask, do I play this jingle now? No, not because we've entered the so-called fifth season of the year since beginning of November, but because this is episode 111. And this is a really clownish number. But we won't talk about clowns and foods today. Today, we're going to talk about nuclear energy. So, what are you hearing now in the background? It's the audio of an ABC video posted inside an article titled Thousands Block Nuke Train in Germany. Yeah, it shows how protesters lay on the rail track in the forest in silent protest, how they are running from heavily armed police forces, how they are chased by the police, and how water cannons and tear gas drive the protesters out of the woods. Pretty intense if you haven't seen this before. Wow. So really, what's so geographical about that? I'm fading this out now. What's so geographical about this? First of all, we have to take a look at what's going on here. In the article, it says, German police battle thousands of anti-nuclear protesters trying to block a train carrying nuclear waste in the north of the country. So, why is nuclear waste carried around in trains anyway? Let's see. The convoy taking the German waste has finally reached the end of its 1,200-kilometer journey from a reprocessing center in northwestern France to get a storage facility in the northern Germany city of Dannenberg. And if you're listening to the show from outside of Germany, you might not know that Germany doesn't have this reprocessing centers for nuclear waste. So all the nuclear fuel rods had to be transferred to a center in France where they were prepared for permanent storage. And for that storage, you see, we don't have a permanent facility where these rods can rot or just lay around for the next 10,000 years or so. The protesters argue that the shipment by train of spent fuel rods is hazardous, and note that Germany, like the rest of Europe, has no permanent storage site for the waste, which will remain dangerous for thousands of years. So, this is pretty much it. Yeah, the rods have to be brought back to Germany. Germany doesn't have a permanent storage site, so they're using a temporary one in the north of the country. But there was a sentence in this article that caught my attention. This one, listen. The protesters are also angry that a pledged German phase-out of nuclear power, hastily agreed this year in the wake of the Fukushima disaster in Japan, will take another decade to implement. Okay, so besides the angry protesters, it's really interesting to take a look at the decision made to pull out of nuclear energy. Because of that decision Germany made after Fukushima, the country has to find an alternative solution to power the nation, right? So, and that solution lies in wind, geothermal, and also solar energy. And we've talked about solar energy, by the way, about, I think, two episodes ago, right? With the Desertec project. All in the context of who will benefit from building large solar plants in the Saharan desert. And if we are talking about switching from nuclear and fossil energy to renewable energies, you can ask again, who will benefit from that decision? And I'm not talking about less CO2 and reducing the potential of a nuclear catastrophe. No, I'm talking about a country's industry. Let's read a piece from The Guardian about the use of nuclear energy in the UK. And here it says, building new nuclear power stations will make it harder for the UK to switch to renewable energy, said one of the top German officials leading the country's nuclear energy phase-out. So in the UK, the acceptance of nuclear energy is still really high. As we read in The Guardian, a new poll published on Friday suggests that globally, just 22% of people agree that nuclear power is relatively safe and an important source of electricity. However, the GlobeScan poll of 2,300 people in 23 countries, 23,000 people in 23 countries, showed that support in the UK actually rose from 33% to 37% since 2005. Wow, 37% of the UK population support nuclear energy. Wow. That chimes with the British Science Association Commission poll published in September showing UK support for nuclear power has remained steady since Fukushima. Yeah, and then the article deals more with questions about power shortage and making a smooth transition to the renewable energies. But for me, the interesting point is which companies will build these new solar plants? Who will build offshore wind parks? Who will have the best knowledge about geothermal energy and the best concepts to make money out of it, right? So this could be a real push for an economy, don't you think? Yeah, create jobs, export whole power plants, have an influence on the global energy market. And of course, you can argue if we should continue using fossil energy. Hey, here in Texas, that's a no-brainer. But I think it's important to discuss sustainability, not only from a green perspective, but also discuss it and in a way that how sustainable the whole energy industry of a country is, right? So, if we don't invest in renewables, will we someday have to buy solar cells from China? Or are we already doing that? Huh? So I would really like to hear your economic geographic approach to this topic. Let me know what you think. Send in an email to comment@geography.com. Or just talk to the voicemail. The Skype name is Geography. Pretty easy to remember. A link to an interesting debate on YouTube about nuclear energy will be in the show notes, like all the links to the articles we've just talked about. So this week's quick vote, of course, deals with nuclear energy as well. So if you want to let the frontliners out there know what your opinion on the topic is, go to this week's episode's website and click on one of the following answers. Abandon nuclear energy. A. Would be a disaster. B. It's just not realistic. C. Could be a smart move. D. Would push the economy. Or E. Another opinion. So let me know what you think and vote for one of the possible answers.
What's that sound?
This category traditionally doesn't get many frontliners to pull up the phone and call in, but nevertheless, we're trying to sensitize the auditive awareness and open not only our eyes, but also our ears to the environment that surrounds us. And last episode, I wanted to know what this sound is. So, guess what? Nobody sent in a suggestion for that sound. So, this is the traffic you can listen to if you're standing on a bridge above a highway. Yeah. Okay. So, this week, I hope we get more than zero responses to the next sound riddle. This week, we have also one, and that sounds like this. That does sound kind of like an old modem, right? So if you have any idea what this might be, please send me your suggestions to comment@geography.com or even better, talk to the voicemail. So hey, let's listen to some music here. What do you think, huh? It's about doing something, like sending in feedback. or commenting on our Facebook page. And it's from a band that got a very adequate name for today's topic. These are The Nuclears, from the album called The Nuclears, with their song You Can Make It. So everybody lean back and enjoy a good piece of rock music. You Can Make It, from The Nuclears, from their album The Nuclears, from the Podsafe Music Network. You find that on music.mevio.com. Links to the album in both the US and the German iTunes store are, as always, in the show notes. And now it's time again for a quick look at our Facebook page. This week, very brief, Frontline on Facebook. Hey, Frontliners. As you might know, we do have a Facebook page, where you can post your thoughts and comments to the show's topics. And last week, I posted the link to the video about shared space we talked about in 110. It's a really nice piece to watch and not so long, and got some pretty nice, pretty neat pictures in it. And I really hate to say it, but nobody left a comment on our Facebook wall. Not for this entry. Not for any post at all. So what's going on, Frontliners? What is it? Have you been too busy? Out celebrating holidays or whatever? What is going on? And it's the same with a Frontline quick vote. Last week's question about shared space, a successful concept, only got one single vote. A single one out of some 100 listeners. That is even too poor to tell you what this single frontliner voted for. Well, I don't really like how this feedback is developing and really ask you to participate more actively in the show, yeah? It's nice if you listen to the show, yeah? No doubt about it. And you certainly don't have to post comments on everything. But from time to time, you know, would be really nice. Makes me kind of sad. I know that there's always a week or two where the numbers go down and less people listen to the show. But it was Thanksgiving last Thursday and yeah. But that counts for US listeners only. Certainly not for the German frontliners or for the rest of the world, right? So come on, guys. Donate some content to the show. Really doesn't hurt. Yeah, and as we don't have so much input for new topics to be discussed, let's jump right into the next section about Alexander von Humboldt and his voyage to the Americas. He tells us, in his words, why we should go out there and do empirical research, why it is great to go on field trips and excursions, and why we should really love our subject, geography. He's at the Canary Islands right now, and let's hear what he's up to. It's chapter 1.2, Stay at Tenerife. From the time of our departure from Graciosa, the horizon continued so hazy that notwithstanding the considerable height of the mountains of Canary, we did not discover that island till the evening of the 18th of June. It is the granary of the archipelago of the Fortunate Islands. Whoop, next page. Islands, and what is very remarkable in a region situated beyond the limits of the tropics. We were assured that in some districts there are two wheat harvests in the year, one in February and the other one in June, and Canary has never been visited by a learned mineralogist. And yet this island is so much the more worthy of observation as the physiognomy of its mountains, disposed in parallel chains, appeared to me to differ entirely from that of the summits of Lanzarote and Tenerife. Nothing is more interesting to the geologist than to observe the relations on the same point of the globe between volcanic countries and those which are primitive or secondary. When the Canary Islands shall have been examined, in all the parts which compose the system of the mountains, we shall find that we have to be too precipitate in considering the whole group as raised by the action of submarine fires. Well, and by the way, have you ever looked up Humboldt's voyage on the map or on a globe? I think it's really fascinating to do it and to take a look at the time it took back in the 18th century to travel such a distance. It's unbelievable. I'm going on here reading. As we approached the road of Santa Cruz, we observed that the mist driven by the winds drew nearer to us. The sea was strongly agitated, as it most commonly is in those latitudes. We hastened to the prow of the vessel to behold the magnificent spectacle, and at the same instant we saw four English vessels lying to and very near our stern. We had passed without being perceived, and the same mist which had concealed the peak from our view had saved us from the risk of being carried back to Europe. The Pizarro stood in as close as possible to the fort to be under its protection. Oh, wow. It was on this shore that in the landing attempted by the English 2 years before our arrival in July 1797, Admiral Nelson had his arm carried off by a cannonball. And so we learn about Horatio Nelson here, this famous English admiral who fought in the Napoleon Wars. And if you don't remember it, yeah, he won the Battle of Trafalgar, in which he was killed, by the way, by a bullet. So I'm mentioning this because I think that it's really important for all of us to have a working grid in place, yeah, with important historic events and people. That makes it really easy, or more easy later, to learn new facts if you can just embed them into your existing grid of knowledge, so to say. Okay. The situation of the town of Santa Cruz is very similar to that of La Guaira, the most frequented port of the province of Caracas. The heat is excessive in both places, and from the same causes. But the aspect of Santa Cruz is more gloomy. On a narrow and sandy beach, houses of dazzling whiteness, with flat roofs and windows without glass, are built close against a wall of black perpendicular rock, devoid of vegetation. We now learn something about the settlement on the island. A fine mole built of freestone and the public walk planted with poplars are the only objects which break the sameness of the landscape. That is one concept of landscape. Let me read this sentence again. A fine mole built of freestone and the public walk planted with poplars are the only objects which break the sameness of the landscape. So, concept of landscape. Do you know other explanations or definitions of what a landscape is? Perhaps you might want to look up the meaning of landscape again in one of the many descriptions out there. It's really interesting. And just one more sentence. The view of the peak, as it presents itself above Santa Cruz, is much less picturesque than that we enjoy from the port of Orotava. And what you can see from the top of the mountain, we'll hear about that in the next episode of Humboldt's Voyage. Yeah, speaking about Humboldt and the tropics, there's an interesting conference coming up in February 2012 that might be some kind of interesting for you. It's called the Annual Conference of the Society for Tropical Ecology, and titled Islands in Land and Seascape, The Challenges of Fragmentation, taking place 22nd to 25th of February 2012 in Erlangen, Germany. And this international conference got a website, pretty nice one, I should say, with all the things going on, a schedule and keynotes and everything. Be sure to check this website out. You can find it with all other links of today's episode, as always, in the show notes. And so episode 111 of Geography Frontline is over. We talked about some interesting things like the use of nuclear energy, and we talked about missing feedback. Ding, ding, ding. So get this party started and send in your comments, frontliners. This show can only survive with your intellectual support, really. It's really important that you send in your feedback. And never forget, always remember, the network is us.